T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Mully and Hall.
Fantastic, fantastic show.
Chicago sports talk for your morning.
Oh, man, I really wanted to talk to him.
Appreciate the love, big homie.
Happy Thanksgiving, everyone. The 3-7 Bears visiting the 0-9-1 Detroit Lions from Ford Field here in Detroit, Michigan. Snap back, four-man rush stunt. Here comes Quinn up the middle. Pressure against the down the field. He's got Reynolds for the touchdown. Over the top, beats the corner on the play. And the Lions strike on third down and 10. Snap back, max protection for a moment. With time, Dalton works down the middle of the field looking for Mooney. He's got it inside the 30. Behind the defense, inside the 20, brought down near the 17-yard line of Detroit. Big play, max protect to help that thing set up. And Mooney ran by the defense. Throw it on the board, baby. 52 big ones. Snap, sidestep to the pocket. Quickly throws up the middle. 2-1, end zone. Touchdown. Touchdown, Jimmy Graham. Touchdown, Bears. For the lead here in Detroit. Snap. Here comes Quinn. Here comes pressure up the middle. And Quinn's got him. And down he goes. Robert Quinn on a roll, baby. Takes the snap. Works it over the middle of the field into the end zone. It's picked off in the end zone. One too many times to the well, going for Demir Byrd, and it's picked off by Detroit. Shotgun snap is back, four-man rush, here comes pressure, throwing, open man, end zone, touchdown, Detroit. Backing up and making the catch, T.J. Hockenson. Snap, Dalton, play fake, quickly sets up, Montgomery with a blitz pickup. Dalton in trouble though, he gets eaten up and down he goes. Couldn't get away from the pressure from Levi on Uzurike. Back to throw. Blitz is on. Picked up Dalton, leaving the pocket. He's got room to run. 25 to the 20 and stumbles forward. Is he close to or at the first down? Pickup of 9. 4 defenders back. 7 at the line of scrimmage. They back up with 2. They throw left. It is caught inside the 5. A catch made. Demir Byrd for a first down and goal for the Bears at the 4-yard line of Detroit. Simple throw, simple catch. Demir Byrd moved the sticks. Snap, placement, kick by Cairo Santos. It is up. It is good for the win. Get your feast on, Bears fans. Thanksgiving, turkey, and the fixings will never taste any better. Bears get the win. 16-14 on the swing of the red leg of Cairo Santos. Capping the longest Bears scoring drive this season, an 18-play journey covering 69 yards in 8 minutes and 30 seconds for the winning points, believe it or not, right on their season average of 16 grueling points to end a 5-game skid. Bears win, fade to black from Detroit, 16-14 over the Lions.
Mike Mulligan and David Hall taking you up to 9 o'clock on 670 The Score.
Okay, let's go.
Mully and Hall, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. You didn't think we'd let you down and not show up on a Victory Friday. My God, we've been waiting how long? October 10th. Oh, we've waited a long time. And the Bears finally deliver. Took a little bit of distraction during the week. Let's be honest about it. But the 5-game losing streak is over. And the Bears come away with the big 16-14 victory over the hapless Lions. And my God, are they hapless. And so we're here for you. We're here to celebrate with you a Victory Friday, a Bears Monday. On a Friday, yeah, it's Black Friday, so it's the start of the shopping season, and the Bears are not looking
in any windows trying to find a coach. That's been made clear. And boy, with that job security in hand, Matt Nagy went out there and got the job done. I think everyone can stop chanting, at least for a little while. David is enjoying a day with the family. I think he really has a lot of Black Friday stuff to order. But either way, if you want to know what David thinks, just head to 670thescore.com. He has a column up, an excellent column up, about the Bears and that game and everything that went down. How about this? The home team is winless on Thanksgiving for the third consecutive year. Yeah, all the home teams lost. And that is 3 years running where all the home teams have lost. Obviously, the Bears got the big victory on the final play of the game. And congratulations to the Bears. They have figured out how to hold on to a lead. All you got to do is just eat up all the time and kick the game-winning field goal on effectively the last play of the game. And then you don't have to worry about who's blowing what coverage in the secondary. So that is a glorious and wondrous thing. So we saw that. The Cowboys lost to the Raiders. That one went to overtime. That one got a little chippy. And that was interesting to see. Can't all not well in Jerry world. It'd be interesting to see how Jerry handles things as opposed to, say, I don't know, George McCaskey. And of course, the Saints lose at home to the Bills. The Bills had been really on a bit of a doubter, and they managed to get it all together, and the Saints looked awful. I don't know how much of that game you watched, but it was hardly worth watching. But that is bizarre to me that you have three consecutive Thanksgivings in which the road team manages to win. And you know, we always argue about why should these home teams still get this advantage. It's unfair. It's a short week and they're at home. Well, apparently, you know, they're worried about the turkey in the oven or something. I don't know what it would be, but that is 3 years running. The Bears, I mean, what do you say about that win? It was hardly kind of an impressive victory, right? I mean, they got it done. And that's, listen, it's been horrible. It's been an absolute, I believe we've settled on the term sham show, because it's a very positive way of saying it. But a total sham show from the Bears over the last 5 weeks since October 10th, including the bye. And ugly stuff. And the whole Nagy fired movement and the entire reaction to that and the sort of delayed everything, it's all very curious. It's all super interesting to kind of look at the Bears and where they're at and compare them to other organizations. The good news is that they are significantly better than the Detroit Lions. I think we all can agree upon that. Here's the bad news. I'm almost positive that they've played the Lions twice now, and I don't believe you get another shot at that team. So you can't rely on your next opponent. They come home to face Arizona. You can't rely on them to put together a couple timeouts, okay? I got to tell you, I was laughing so hard when Detroit was called for a 5-yard penalties for calling two consecutive timeouts. And the reason I found it so amusing, I've watched football for so long, I'm not sure I've ever seen that one. I'm not sure that I knew that was a penalty, because I've never seen anyone do it. I don't believe I've ever seen a team do that, just from my own personal football watching. What a disaster. And I guess Dan Campbell came out and claimed that the second timeout was called to prevent a touchdown. That you know, they had some kind of weird thing going on where they felt they were going to give up a touchdown if they didn't call the timeout. So they quickly called the timeout, and they had just called the timeout. And who knew that quirky rule. It is an odd one, that they're supposed to, officials are supposed to ignore the second timeout call, but instead they stopped the game, so they had to give them the penalty and burn the timeout, by the way. So it's again, hapless is probably not the only word you'd use. They were very inept. I mean, my God, I don't even know if they attempted to block Robert Quinn. I think they were content to hold him, and he wasn't alone. They got called for six holding penalties. Is that it? Six holding penalties out of their 10 total. They had more, but they weren't accepted, right? So there were a couple of penalties declined. But, man, that is a bad team, and that is bad news. I don't know. When you watch that game, I don't know that you feel particularly good about any element of the Bears right now. I mean, my God, they're a beaten-up football team. I get that. And, you know, one of the real cool matchups that we were looking forward to was with the two Georgia Bulldogs, right? So Roquan Smith going against an old college teammate and DeAndre Swift. And doing the pregame show yesterday, Patrick Manley pointed out that Roquan is just bringing the thunder on every play. And in fact, you know, one of the things we talked about watching was number 58. Let's see, you know, he had 17 tackles, I believe, in the loss to Baltimore, and he's just a tackle machine. And it's not just the tackles; it's the way he's hitting. So you thought, wow, that is going to be so much fun to see him running around the field trying to take down his old college teammate, DeAndre Swift. Well, he hit him, and he hit him hard, and he took him. He hit him on the sidelines. The two of them go out of bounds, and it looked like a serious shoulder injury. I think we'll find out more moving forward, but Swift was literally knocked out of the game. Now, the problem is Roquan apparently strained a hamstring, so he also left the game. So the Georgia collision was brief and spectacular, but it resulted in both players leaving. And you're sitting there and you're watching the Bears and you're thinking to yourself, you know, the most interesting thing about this team has got to be the quarterback, right? I mean, we all care about what happens with Justin Fields. We're all eager to see what happens with Justin Fields. And lo and behold, there's no Justin Fields. And in fact, the national media is back, apparently. They were silent during the whole Hell's Hall crisis earlier in the week, but Ian Rappaport before the game declared that there are cracks in the ribs. Apparently there was some discomfort being felt by Justin Fields, so we knew he had bruised ribs and he was going to miss the game. He bruised his ribs on Sunday against the Baltimore Ravens, and he was unable to go on Thursday. And so they claimed that it was just bruised ribs. It wasn't a big deal. Everything would be fine. And lo and behold, it turns out that he must have been feeling pretty bad, because they ended up doing an MRI, and the MRI revealed some cracks, like small cracks, in his rib cage. So that's disconcerting. That, you know, ribs injuries for quarterbacks, it's all about pain tolerance. So we'll see if the extended break here. They have like a mini bye week now, because they played on Thursday night. They played the two games in such close proximity that they will not be on the field again until a week from Sunday. So hopefully the extra time helps him get better, because, you know, let's be honest about it. That's the excitement of the season. That's the thing that you want to see, is the development of the quarterback, and can he get better, and can he find the level that he seemed to hit against Pittsburgh, where he was standing back there and feeling very confident in everything he was doing. But man, this team is beaten up, and it is tough to watch a team that's that kind of beaten up. I don't know if everybody was kind of paying close attention to the personnel moves and all that stuff. But, you know, at one point the Bears had Marcus Hunt, Caleb Johnson, Trevis Gibson, they had Blackson, Christian Jones, Marquis Christian, and Artie Burns on the field at the same time. So, I mean, that is, those are not, I mean, those are guys, with all due respect, that a lot of people would have a hard time picking out of a lineup, right? If you lined up the most ardent Bears fan and said, you know, here's this group, just name them, I'm not sure how far you'd get. I'm not sure that, you know, there'd be a lot of people that have studied the bottom end of the roster and know who everyone is and have actually seen them in front of a podium or whatever. That was crazy to me that that they were that beaten up. But you know, the good news was that that Eddie Jackson was back and he played. The good news was that Artie Burns played. And I only say that's good news because of how horrible things have gone for Kendall Vildor. And, you know, at the end of the game against the Ravens, he was sitting there kind of on the bench, like sort of his head in his hands, and he knew that he had had a really bad finish to that game with the pass interference penalty. There was another pass against him, and then the blown coverage must have been on him, right? Because he was on the sideline. So that would seem to indicate that that what everyone didn't want to say, that there were issues there. So, yeah, what are you going to do? All right, we're going to bring in Dan Pompey. We're going to talk to our buddy, the great Hall of Fame football writer. We will pick apart things with him. We'll get his take on everything that happened, including Dan being the man that broke the information that George McCaskey had spoken to the team and assured them that there was no imminent firing of Coach Nagy. We can go over the timeline of that story, but we'll talk about the game and we'll talk about what's in front of us here. What is there to watch? What is it that you are excited about? Here's hoping the quarterback is coming back, because that at least is something to get you through the end of the season. The losing streak is over. The Bears are a winner. We're all winners, for God's sake. It's a glorious Black Friday. We'll talk to Dan Pompey next. It is, of course, Mully and Haw on Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Dan Pompey! Mullion Haw on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Mullion Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Always a joy to talk to our friend Dan Pompey. His name is written in the Hall of Fame, and he joins us on The Score Hotline presented by Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book. Dan, good morning. How you holding up?
I'm holding up great. I'm still kind of trying to work off the turkey, but ready to get my workout in and feeling good, ready to talk some Bears.
Well, I got to tell you, the tryptophan kicked in early, well before the turkey was eaten, watching that game.
Yeah, it's, the Bears have their own version of tryptophan, I think. And if you made it through the game, it was a victory without dozing off on the couch, right?
I was I'm watching the game, and my wife was sitting there, not really watching the game. And I said, as the two penalties were called, or the two timeouts were called one after the other, and they issued the penalty, I said to her, I didn't even know that was a rule. Like, I've been watching football my entire adult life. I don't think I've ever seen that happen. I'm not sure that I knew that you couldn't call timeout followed by timeout, but that was one of the great lowlights of that game.
Well, yeah, it was a good thing the Bears were playing the Lions. That's all I have to say, I think they caught some breaks there. But, it was interesting that, so many penalties. The Lions gave the Bears so many second chances and so many, just kind of missteps. I mean, that was a theme in the second game, too. The Cowboys playing the Raiders, and it just seemed like the officiating and the flags were just too much of an issue yesterday, and it made for some difficult football to watch.
I was mentioning earlier that, a lot of these, Dallas and Detroit, a lot of these games at home are based on tradition, based on the fact that they were willing to host those games when not a lot of people were interested in it. So the league has allowed them to keep that because it's turned into a nice tradition. But that's 3 years running where no home team won a game on Thanksgiving. That's super bizarre.
That is, it's crazy because you think, well, they've got an advantage, right? Because they do it every year. They know how to do it. But in the case of the Lions, I mean, they've been one of the worst teams in the league for that period of time. So I guess we shouldn't be surprised at that. Case of the Cowboys, a little bit different because, they've been a pretty good team. And, of course, they're a pretty good team this year. But they had a lot go wrong for them yesterday, as we said, with some of those penalty flags, and then also being without their two-star wide receivers, being without their best defensive end. There were some circumstances yesterday, but I still kind of like the tradition of seeing those Thanksgiving games played in those two places because I guess it's something that we grew up with and has been a part of our lives forever, and it's just something that you look forward to on Thanksgiving Day.
And we've both wasted far too many Thanksgivings being at Detroit, sadly.
At Detroit, I've wasted a few in Dallas, too.
But have you really? There you go.
Yeah.
So help me out. We talked yesterday in the pregame at this idea of what is there to look forward to, what is there to really kind of focus in on, and obviously Justin Fields is front and center in that, but Andy Dalton ends up, what is he? He's the first Bear quarterback to throw for 300 yards since Nick Foles. That, I don't know if that matters, but the report before the game was that there are cracks in the ribs of Justin Fields. It's still just a pain management issue. Do you expect him back, and do you expect him to be starting against Arizona?
Yeah, not sure if Arizona, but I'd be surprised if he doesn't get out there in the next few weeks anyway. I think, there is urgency on the part of the Bears to play him and develop him, as there should be with all their young players now, because that's what's left in the season. Obviously, if there's a risk of further injury or something, you don't put him out there, but same thing with Tevin Jenkins. I mean, you want to get him out there as soon as you can. So you know what you have. Do you know? Do you have a left tackle for next year, or do you not have a left tackle for next year? They have no idea right now, and that's something they need to find out. And I think it's the same with Fields from the standpoint of evaluation, but also from the standpoint of development. You know, these are opportunities for him to take steps forward and to make mistakes that he learns from and to get better as a player, so that in 2022. He's better positioned to win games for the Bears.
Obviously, Dan, you had the breaking news that George had met with the team and assured them that there was no plan to fire the coach. We saw the story early in the week from Mark Conkle, a decorated journalist, and so I think that story was taken very seriously everywhere but Halas Hall, and then George eventually had to kind of step up and address the team and make sure everyone knew about that. I was fascinated to see that Cole Kmet in particular said that, yeah, it was a distraction and it did affect preparations for the game. And I don't know how it wouldn't be with something like that kind of hanging over the team's head. So it's good that it was finally addressed privately. Still confused as to why it wasn't. I mean, I understand you don't want to deal with rumors and innuendo and all that stuff, but it just had a different feel to it, and it became a bigger story. And poor Matt Nagy, and I mean that sincerely, I think he's a super nice guy and a good person. And I hate the idea that his kid's playoff game is interrupted by the chance of fire Nagy. But those are everywhere. They were certainly at the Bear game. They were at the United Center. I mean, we know that you know, keeping the coach might be an unpopular move, even with the victory, but I don't know that I've ever seen anyone get abused in this fashion, and I think maybe it's something to do with social media or just the tenor of the country. We've gotten meaner as a people, but he's really had a rough ride the last week. Jeez, Dan, it's tough.
Yeah, it's been awful, really difficult to watch, you know. Like you say, over the time that I've been in the media, I know that you have seen this kind of more critical trend. I think, in it, you know, it started in Chicago back probably maybe in the late 80s, early 90s. You know, we got some columnists in town who were highly critical. You know, Jay Mariotti came to town. Bernie Lincecum right. came to town. Then there was the advent of sports talk radio, which kind of really put sports in more of a microscope, where everything was being dissected, and the score came on, and you know, that was a big deal with Mike North and Dan Jiggetts and all the early hosts. And you know, I think you know, it's kind of continued then in the Twitter age, right, where you know, we've got all the social media now, and we, you know, everything's, it's easy to say fire Nagy on Twitter or whatever it is. And all of it has kind of ended up spilling over into how people talk and think and react. And that's how you get this. And it's, you know, I think it was better the way it was before, in my opinion. But obviously, you know, I think we talk about distractions a lot. And I think most of them are overrated, but this one was not. This one was a legitimate distraction, as Cole Kmet said, because you're talking about your leader, you know, potentially being fired at the end of the week. How could you not be distracted by that? I mean, obviously, Nagy was distracted to the point of canceling some meetings on Tuesday, I think it was, according to Brad Biggs.
Right.
And, you know, it was... I think it was allowed to kind of get out of control. And I think, you know, the Bears probably could have quelled it, certainly internally and then also externally, if they had reacted swiftly and came out and said, no, look, this wasn't true. Matt Nagy's not being fired after the game.
Yeah, and you know, frankly, I didn't understand that. And I think it led to sort of the feeding frenzy because – you know, we see plenty of national reports that will come out, you know, whether it's, you know, Adam Schefter or Ian Rappaport, just, you know, almost injury stuff that you don't get up at Halas Hall that the beat writers don't get. If Biggsy's not getting it, something's, you know, somebody's leaked something. So it surprised me that there wasn't an immediate reaction saying that wasn't true. And it kind of had a life of its own. And by all accounts, Matt Nagy, after that news conference, went to ownership and asked, hey, what's going on? What is happening here? And that's when George decided the next day, I guess, on his own, of his own volition, which is great. And, Dan, you reported it. But it's a very simple thing to kind of nip in the bud if you were interested in doing that, or if anyone had the ability to do that. And that leads to this idea. You know, we talked to Michael Lombardi last week, and he said it's great to talk about collaboration, but there has to be one person front and center that is the leader of the team, that is the leader of the football operation. And Dan, you wrote a great column kind of breaking down where the Bears are at and how they need to kind of shift things a little bit moving forward. And we've certainly seen that happen over the years where they have changed kind of the way they're operating and kind of mix up the structure. And the idea of getting Ted Phillips strictly on the business side to deal with the new stadium and all the stuff that will come with that, and then maybe go out and hire a football guy and put that person, and you had some great names on your list. How realistic is it to expect that from this team? Do you think that's a plan they're contemplating as they sit here and we see the kind of end of season four-headed monster last year?
Well, I mean, you know, how could you not contemplate it? You know, everything they've done since, was it 2011 when they fired Jerry Angelo, has not worked really, not as well as they certainly wanted to. I mean, the organization's record in the Angelo era was way better than it's been right in the subsequent eras. So, you know, you have to think of a structure change. You know, doing the same thing over and over again, expecting different results is the definition of what? Insanity. So, you know, if all you're going to do is go out and, okay, yeah, we're going to fire Ryan Pace, we're going to fire Matt Nagy, and we're going to do the same thing again. We're going to go out and hire replacements, and then you think everything's going to change. I mean, it might, but I think your chances are better if you kind of change the whole structure and change the process and bring in a president of football operations who really is in charge of everything, you know, in the football realm. And, you know, and even like what happened last week, if you had a strong president of football operations there, you know, that probably doesn't happen. Or maybe even if that kind of report got out, maybe he's there to say, okay, we've got to respond to this. We've got to really nip it in the bud and make sure that it is not an issue that affects us in the game on Thursday.
Yeah, that would be one very easy way of kind of accomplishing that. And again, I mean, there's nothing wrong with collaboration, but I don't know that that's the way to run an organization. So it was evidenced, I thought, you know, they this week there was nobody that you really, you know, and I'm not being critical because I'm trying not to be, but good God, you know, no one got in front of the idea that you let Chris Tabor roll out there and deal with this story before anyone else, the guy that was the replacement for the coach when the coach had COVID, that was just so awkward. And I felt bad for Chris, and they're lucky that he's a guy capable of kind of handling himself on his feet and being able to kind of get through that, because that's a very difficult role to put a guy in.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, I think like I said, it should have been addressed early. But we talked a little about this on the pregame show yesterday. The Bears are very good about kind of staying in their bunker and not really listening to what's going on the outside and, you know, saying we can't respond to things that are happening outside of our building. And sometimes that's a good thing, and, you know, obviously it can help you. You don't want to go out and respond to every little rumor, especially in the age of internet and Twitter, where these things sometimes run rampant. But when you have something like that, you have to be able to differentiate between something that is just kind of fluff that will disappear into the ether and something that is going to have legs and can really impact your week and your team and beyond that, just make your coach trending on the internet and be the lead story in every newspaper, radio show, TV show, all these things. So, they didn't handle it in a manner that was best, but I think ultimately ended up okay because George McCaskey did address the team and said nothing was going to come of this, and they ended up winning the game.
It's funny, and it's not funny. I thought it was difficult for the Bears that at some point, they had Marcus Hunt, Caleb Johnson, Trevis Gibson, Angelo Blackson, Christian Jones, Marquis Christian, and Artie Burns all on the field at the same time. And I'm like, I don't know. I was saying earlier, I'm not sure that even the most ardent of Bear fans could identify them if you kind of had them in a lineup or if you gave here's the photo, identify this man. It's just a very strange time of year as all these injuries have hit and you're rolling out there with guys that you don't expect to use. Obviously, Kendall Vildor was benched, right? I mean, I don't know what else you would call that, and mercifully in a way. But wow, that is pretty ugly when you start looking at some of the names of people. It's as important as looking at the people that aren't there.
Yeah, I had the same thought. I was just putting together my post-game points for The Athletic, and I was looking at the playtime percentage, and it is pretty amazing at some of the guys who the Bears never planned on being a part of their defense and being on the field so much, and they were all out there yesterday. And, credit to them, credit to those players, for getting the job done. Obviously, again, it was the Lions, but they did what they had to do, and they, we've seen a lot of bad defense this year, including bad defense when all hands were on deck or most hands were on deck.
Right.
And, that was yesterday. Like I said, they got the job done, and they were without at least probably three of their four best players with Mack, Roquan in the second half, and Akeem Hicks being out. So, that was significant. It's significant by Sean Desai, too. I give them credit.
Well, I they've uncovered the secret. Just hang on to the ball until the last play of the game, and you don't have to worry about it.
That's right. They never gave the ball back to him at the end, which has been their bugaboo all season long. That's pretty funny.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. Dan, you're the best. Thank you, buddy. Happy Black Friday, pal.
Okay, thank you. Good to talk with you.
Yeah, that is our guy, Dan Pompey. Always a joy to talk to Dan. Hey, we should let you know that this segment is brought to you by the Chicago Wolves. The first place Chicago Wolves play the Rockford Ice Hogs this Saturday at Allstate Arena, and affordable tickets are still available. Check out Winning Hockey with the entire family. We are Chicago. We are hockey. We are the Wolves. Yes, indeed. And we are going to get to your phone calls, 312-644-6767. It's a victory Black Friday. See how weird that is? There is some blackness to the victory because it was one of the worst professional football games you're ever going to see. But that's more about the cyber deals and getting out to whatever store you want to drive to get a television. Why is it the TVs are the thing that everybody seems to buy? Do I need a TV? Okay, well, we'll contemplate that during the break. 312-644-6767. Are you happy? Are you glad that the Bears won? Has that turned anything in your mind? Are you now a Matt Nagy proponent? Oh, 312-644-6767. It's Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 The Score.
Mully and Haw,
live and local. Chicago Sports Talk for your morning on 670 The Score.
Back to throw. Blitz is on. Picked up Dalton leaving the pocket. He's got room to run. 25 to the 20 and stumbles forward. Is he close to or at the first down? Pickup of 9.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. How about Andy Dalton getting on his horse and getting on the move? Andy Dalton, the Bears quarterback. I really enjoy watching Justin Fields run, and I'm not going to sway my opinion as to whether or not he should be playing. We want to see Justin Fields. It is a reason to watch, but, man, it helps when you play an inept team. And how bad were the Detroit Lions? It was crazy. 312-644-6767. Let's start our conversation. We'll get out to the phone lines. We should let you know that the listener line is powered by BetQL. Bet smarter, beat the books. Download the BetQL app today or visit BetQL.com. We'll start with Ted. Ted is downtown. Hi, Ted.
Hey, this is Joe.
Okay, Joe. Sorry. Can you
What's
be
going
Ted?
On, Mulligan? Happy Thanksgiving, my man.
Thank you, buddy. God bless you.
I got to tell you, this doesn't mean much, but as a lifelong Bear fan and season ticket holder, it's usually around this time each year I find myself transitioning from absolute excitement from the team to actively rooting against them. And that was the case yesterday, but it was different this year. And, Mully, I agree with you. The way the Bears handled this was an absolute sham show. They embarrassed me as a fan, and regardless if this was fact or fiction, it should have been handled much better. Now, my question is, this guy Conkle, I know you guys spoke highly of him, but I feel the score, and I love this channel, I listen all the time, I feel it was kind of handled like a sham show on the score as well, because this guy's, he was touted. Where is he now? He was jumping on, he was making the rounds last week on Dan's show, he was on other networks. Is anyone bothered to follow up with him? Because there's still the shred of hope in me that there was some truth in this, but it's dimming. It's dimming more and more. Now I'm seeing this case for, and I agree with you, the coach is a nice guy,
yeah,
but now he's becoming a martyr, and we might be keeping him.
Yeah.
And this is like, where is Mark Conkle? I'm sorry. He needs to get out there now. I'm looking on the internet. It's all 3-4 days ago, and I don't care if he's got a Pulitzer Prize. He's responsible, and I feel like he let you guys down too, and whoever else he presented this to. And I just want to get your feelings on this, because I have a lot of respect for this station, especially you, Mully. I mean, I got to believe deep down, you kind of feel betrayed as well.
Well, I appreciate the compliment. You know, I am, as a former newspaper guy, you know, I was contacted, I think I said this, I was contacted by a buddy of mine who works for the NFL Network, and he was just dismissing this report because of it came from patch.com, and he kind of, and I said, no, I said, you know, this guy is a reputable journalist. He's won a Pulitzer Prize. That's a decorated journalist. And my comment was, he knows the rules. You know, there are rules involved in whether you report something or don't report something. If something falls in your lap and it is outside kind of your area of expertise, oftentimes you would share that with someone else, you would give that to someone else. But I guess the Bears are sort of a civic story, right? I mean, everybody gets to jump on, so maybe there was no one that could try to verify it, and the source was so good, he felt it was true. You know, I know that George was really angry when he left the stadium after the Baltimore game. I think that different people that saw him said that. It made sense when Conkle wrote that. It didn't make sense that they would bring him in and tell him, we're firing you after the game. That was weird. But I think that if you're paying any kind of attention, all the chance of fire Nagy, that's got to be getting to people. That's got to be something that is bothering ownership. You know, the Bears don't want to be the stumbling, bumbling Bears. You know, obviously, in this case, they couldn't get out of their own way about it. So I guess what I'm saying is, I don't know, Joe, I don't know
that this story didn't change, that may have been a plan, it may have been uncovered. I don't know. I mean, I am not going to sit here and tell you that Conkle lied about it. I have been burned on different stories I've written and had sources either, I told the story. I actually had a player tell me that he was leaving the team and he was going to go somewhere else, and I wrote it, and I got tons of grief. And later the day, that same day, I saw him on TV denying the report, saying he didn't know where it came from. And I called him up, and I'm like, you gave that to me. How can? And he's like, they're really mad. So it things happen, and stories blow up in different ways. I just wish the Bears could get out there and handle this stuff so there isn't that period of time where everybody is sort of twisting in the wind, the coach more than anyone. So, that's awful stuff. I mean, that what happened with that story is just awful. We've got to get to a break, but I want to talk about this. And I also have a story. I have a story to tell you about something that happened to me at the dinner table at Thanksgiving. And it was extraordinary because I got texted a false report, and it was a joke, but I didn't know that. And I got to tell you, I nearly, knocked over my wine glass. 312-644-6767. It's Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.